Last week, I preached about the idea of finding the identity of Jesus. That question that I brought to us was, who is Jesus? Because it appears that throughout centuries, people being puzzled by the identity of Jesus. Not everyone that came in touch with Jesus truly knew who he was. And so people ask the question, who are Jesus? Who are you? And I talked about we need to wrestle with that question because our eternity depends on how we answer that question. Who is Jesus? You see, when Jesus appeared on the scene, the Jewish nation had been waiting for a Messiah. A Messiah, they call it, would be a political leader like King David, perhaps. So the Jewish nation, they were in expectancy of that figure to appear. And you see, Jesus comes along, but before Jesus, there was a man named John the Baptist that he was preaching in the Judean desert. So Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and also Matthew and John would tell us about John the Baptist. And it's interesting because when John the Baptist began to preach, people had not heard from God for about 300 to 400 years. And all of a sudden appears this man, scary looking, preaching about the kingdom of God is at hand. That was John the Baptist's first sermon. Repent, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, people were gravitating towards John and people were being baptized. He will baptize them in the Jordan River. And then the religious leaders all of a sudden asked John, are you the Messiah? Knowing that we're expecting a Messiah to appear. And now this man is preaching, this prophet. And John the Baptist was the first one to tell him, no, I'm not the Messiah. He said, I'm just the voice of somebody shouting out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. But the religious leaders asked him, who are you then? Are you Elijah? Are you the Christ? The word Messiah means Christ. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah in Hebrew. So John told him plainly that he wasn't he. But then he said, I baptize you with water, but after me, somebody greater than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He said, he's so great that I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. You know, so John said, I'm not he. So he's coming. Then after John, remember John baptized Jesus when he was 30 years of age. Jesus got baptized in the Jordan River by John. And right from that moment, going to Matthew 3 and 4, Jesus began his earthly ministry. He appointed disciples and apostles. And then Jesus' first sermon ever, Matthew 4, 17, the same message that John the Baptist has been preaching. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what people have been waiting for. People have been waiting for the Messiah, somebody who was going to establish the kingdom to Israel. Was Jesus the Messiah or was he an imposter? I mean, people were baffled by his identity. They did not quite understand him. You see, the religious people wanted to know if he was the Messiah. And they even asked him many times. Now, the question that I want you and I to wrestle with, because sometimes people will challenge that idea that people will say Jesus was not the Messiah. And you see, we had to go through scripture because there were people like the apostles. They did believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one that was going to come and redeem Israel. We have people today that do not believe, even Jewish people in our society, that they refuse, that they do not consider Jesus to be the Messiah appointed by God. How do we know that Jesus was the Messiah? You may ask. How do we know that he wasn't just a phony? Because before Jesus, there were a lot of people that claimed to be messiahs. And, you know, how do we know that Jesus was it? One of the first things you and I need to understand is that the Jewish people have been waiting for a Messiah for a long time. Why? Because God promised a Messiah to them. There was a lot of Old Testament scriptures that God told them, I'm going to send you a deliverer. A redeemer will come from Zion. Zion is another word for Jerusalem. So in Isaiah 59, God is already making promises that he's coming. So that's what the Jewish people do in the time of Jesus. They were waiting for that leader to appear any moment. They thought it might have been John the Baptist. And then John said he wasn't. So now Jesus is preaching. Maybe it's Jesus. How do we know it was Jesus? So you see, the expectancy of the Jewish nation that a Messiah, a deliverer, a king like David will one day come. That's what they all wanted. That's what they were waiting for. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 for a song is born to us. Talking about a song is given. And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Talking about that God will give the Jewish nation a sign. He was going to be born. And look at the name according to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, there were a lot of scriptures out there. Can you find that slide, Josiah, somewhere there? There were a lot of scriptures out there that talked about the Messiah was coming. And they needed to believe that the Jewish people knew Yahweh made a promise that he was going to send someone to rescue them. You see, during the time that Jesus and John the Baptist were walking around, the Jewish people were being oppressed by the Romans. Now, the Jewish people had some freedom, but they knew that the Messiah would actually give them the land, and they will be in charge. The Jewish people were not in charge when Jesus was preaching and the apostles, but they knew the Messiah would change all that when he came. You see, my friends, they were waiting for a political leader, a warrior just like David. Isaiah 9:7 talks about that he will reign on David's throne and his rule will never end. So even there, God promised to the Jewish nation that when this man sits on the throne, his reign will never come to an end. Isn't that amazing? So like he will reign forever. So now, I mean, it makes sense for the Jewish people. John the Baptist started preaching. Are you the one we've been waiting for? Everyone wanted to know. And people even asked Jesus. Even the Samaritan woman asked Jesus. We know the Messiah called Christ will come. When he comes, he will explain to us all that. And to her, Jesus says, I am he. You know, but Jesus did not reveal his identity to all the people. Now, there was another prophecy in the last, the last book of the Old Testament named Zechariah, Zechariah 9:9. It reads, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was almost the last words of God in the Old Testament. Your king is coming to you. Watch for him. You see, my friend, I don't know if you knew this. That's the prophecy in the Old Testament by the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied during the Persian Empire, a king named Darius. And he prophesied about 520 B.C., 500 years before Jesus was even born. He said that your king is going to come to you. And they say righteous and having salvation. He's victorious. He's humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Just an interesting description for a king. When you know kings, usually, normally, they would not ride on donkeys unless the mission was peaceful, things like that. So Zechariah prophesied that. Now, this is the prophecy that announced to the Jewish people how the Messiah would appear. Like if anybody during the time, first century, were looking for the Messiah, the moment that they saw somebody entering the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, they knew that's him. It's almost like here you can identify who the Messiah is, because there was another prophecy in Isaiah 61 that would tell you what the Messiah would do. And it starts like that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has prepared me to restore sight to the blind and speech to the mute and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus did exactly that when he read that scripture in his hometown in Nazareth. So there were prophecies. Prophecy is like coming soon. God was saying, hey, it's coming soon. Watch for it. So this is the one that would tell you how the Messiah would appear. Like if anybody knew who the Messiah was, whoever comes in the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey that day, that's him. Because that's what the prophecy stated. You see, this king was announced to come with justice and salvation. He was announced to be humble king, mounted on a donkey. Like I said, this was prophesied, predicted 500 years ago, 500 years before Jesus. And then Jesus, during his ministry, he intentionally fulfilled this prophecy. You know another thing? How do you know who the Messiah is? Because there were a lot of prophecies made. If you can fulfill three prophecies, that's huge. I mean, that's big. You can, all the prophecies about the Messiah, you can have three, right? I mean, that's pretty good. There were like 300. And there's only one person that can fulfill all those, and it's Jesus. And here's an example how Jesus rearranged that to take place that day. A week before he died, he told two of his disciples, go into the town and find a donkey that nobody has ever ridden. Now, the disciples followed Jesus, but they had no idea what's going on. So they brought the donkey to Jesus, and he's making his way to the city of Jerusalem. You know, you and I know that event as Palm Sunday because, you know, people, they threw a parade for Jesus. You know, people were taking their cloaks and laying that on the floor, and people cut palm branches and lay down as Jesus is making his entrance into the city of Jerusalem. What we know today as the beginning of Holy Week, a week before Passover, Jesus is making his entrance into the city of Jerusalem like that. You know, another thing about this passage is interesting because that was also the only time that Jesus allowed the crowd to call him king. You know, one time when Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible says that they wanted to make him king by force. Someone's like, he can multiply food. He has to be the king. And Jesus knew their intention. He withdrew. He left the crowd. He did not let them make him king that day. But here, openly, Jesus allowed them to hail him as king. Now, it's interesting, too, because the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they will tell you about this event. Only Matthew and Luke will tell you about Jesus' birth, which is like for them, it's like Mark and John, it's like, you know, he's born. They don't put too much emphasis on his birth. Now, you see, when something is very important, that the four writers, they have their own perspective on the event. They all will tell you how Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey that day. Jesus intentionally fulfilled this prophecy. Now, many of them did not quite understand what was happening because people were saying to the crowd, oh, that's Jesus, a prophet from Nazareth. And they were shouting, you know, I want to take the scripture from John. Like I said, you have Matthew 21, 11 through 1 through 11, Mark 11, 1, they're telling you the story about the triumphant entry. It's also known triumphant entry all or Palm Sunday. Luke 19, 28 through 40, and John 12, 12 through 16. The only time in the lifetime, in the history of Jesus and his ministry that he allowed the people to recognize him as king. Zechariah said that a king is coming to you, righteous, having salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey. And Jesus prepared that. It's almost like, what is he doing? He's showing the world that he's the Messiah that Zechariah spoke about. He's showing the world that truly he is the expected Messiah of the Jewish nation. So if you go to John chapter 12, verse 12 through following. John 12. It says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Or the translation will say, blessed is the King of Israel. They're recognizing Jesus as the king. And Jesus found a young donkey, John says, and sat on it. Just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him, and they had done these things to him. Now, John put that spin on it. Like, the disciples didn't quite understand what was happening. They're just happy that Jesus said, you know, Hosanna. The word Hosanna means save us now, we implore. Save us now, we pray. Hosanna to the King of Israel. They're saying he is the Messiah. John doesn't give you details how Jesus found the donkey. The other gospel tell you that he sent two disciples to find them. Say, somebody asked you, what are you doing with the donkey? I'm tying it. Tell him the Lord needs it. And they will bring, you know, a donkey that nobody has ever ridden. And that's how Jesus made his entrance into the city of Jerusalem. And the crowd went wild. Imagine the parade, everybody. And the only one that's mad about what's going on here are the religious people. At one time they asked Jesus, tell the disciples to be quiet. And Jesus said, they be quiet, the stones will cry out. I mean, Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. The only time in the history of Jesus that he allowed people to call him King. Messiah King. That's who he was. Now you see the crowd misunderstood Jesus' mission. Yes, they were waiting for a king. You know, it wasn't just the crowd. Even the disciples misunderstood Jesus, the kind of kingdom that he came to establish. You know, when this, because, you know, when you look at the life of Jesus, the disciples one time asked Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom now? So, Jesus, we've been following you for about 3 years, and we haven't seen any inclination of you restoring the kingdom. Are you going to do it now? They asked that after the resurrection. And Jesus had to tell them, it's not for you to know the time and the day the Father has set out, set up in his own authority, but you will know one day. They knew that Jesus will be the king, but they still expected a king like David, political leader. Now, Jesus had one of the disciples called Simon the Zealot. He hated Romans. And you remember when Jesus was arrested, that the disciples had some knives and swords with them? Because they thought, it's revolution. So any moment Jesus tell us to fight, we take on the Romans. When Jesus was arrested, Peter got a sword out and cut somebody's ear off. Because they thought, well, the kingdom is going to start any moment. They missed the analogy or the imagery of the donkey. Because see, they knew the history. Kings would never ride on donkeys unless that the mission was peaceful. He's called the Prince of Peace. And, you know, Jesus riding on a donkey. I mean, why, of all animals, why? I mean, kings will have a white horse. And it's like, you know, a strong horse. Not a donkey. But the donkey was always an animal that represented humility. He's coming to you humble, the prophecy said. He came on a mission of peace. They missed it. Because the expectation was a political leader. So they wanted salvation right now. It's almost like redemption right now, Jesus. Any moment, redeem us from the Roman oppression. They forgot that God's agenda was salvation. It wasn't just national. It was going to be universal. Because that Jesus that came, the humble king, also became the sacrificial lamb of God that Isaiah also prophesied. Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgression. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That was in chapter 53 of Isaiah, saying the Messiah would do those things. Nobody wants a dead Messiah. That's what the disciples were like, no. Remember, Peter had issue when Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. He said, no, sir, you're not dying. Not on my watch. Because they all misunderstood the mission of God. Yes, the Messiah, the first time he came, he will die. That's how he will bring salvation to the whole world. Zechariah, look, let me just take you back to Zechariah 9:10. So you see that what the prophet talks about. 9:10, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then verse 10 says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So the prophecy that the Messiah will rule and his kingdom will never end, and he will proclaim peace to the nation. You know, right now with the war that's going on, everyone wants to have peace. You know, like, and you know, we preach about this idea of peace, that peace, according to the dictionary, is the absence of war or conflict. The peace that Jesus, shalom, that talks about is serenity, tranquility, wholeness in the midst of conflict. And he's called the Prince of Peace. And he said he will proclaim peace to the nation. You know what Zechariah is saying? That the only time that you and I will ever experience peace is going to be through Jesus. The only time that the whole world will have peace is when he comes back to establish his kingdom that will be known for peace and justice and righteousness. You know how many times we want justice to be served in our society? And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But when Jesus comes, then justice will be will be happening, and also peace to all the nations. That's what Zechariah said. That's why he's also known as the Prince of Peace. He came on a peaceful nation. He gave his life so that people will be saved, so that people will be reconciled to God. That's what Jesus came to do the first time. You see, when Jesus came the first time, he inaugurated the kingdom of God. That was his first message. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's almost like it's near. The kingdom of God is near. And if you were to do a study about the kingdom of God through the gospel, the best gospel to talk about the kingdom of God is Matthew. He started with the kingdom of God, chapter 3, and then chapter 4. Then Jesus commanded the disciples, said, go preach, the kingdom, repent, the kingdom of God is here. Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done. And you know, the kingdom, Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I mean, the kingdom of God is, Matthew has 28 chapters. The word kingdom of God appears more than 50 times in that book. So you want to, I mean, just do, that's a homework for you. Read the gospel of Matthew and highlight every time you see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Because all the parables of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went on a journey. Even the parables, he talks about the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, 33, seek God his kingdom first and all these things will be added to you. It's a kingdom coming. If there's a kingdom, it's because there's a king. And Jesus was known, recognized as the king of the Jews that day when he entered Jerusalem a week before he died. Now it's interesting because people say, Hosanna, hail to the king of the Jews. Save us now, we pray. Why do you think that a week later the shout changed? What do you think that the same people that were saying to Jesus, Hosanna to the King of David, a week later they say, crucify him, crucify him. What do you think that is? Because they understood. They said, well, he didn't come to set up the kingdom. He ain't it. So away with him. Because people did not understand his mission. The same people that a week prior to his crucifixion, they were, Hosanna, save us now. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King of Israel. Because he will reign on Israel's throne like David and Solomon. He will reign. So when they didn't see that Jesus was doing anything regarding that type of kingdom, political rule, they changed and said, crucify him, away with him. Jesus came to inaugurate the kingdom of God and to let everyone know that you and I also can be part of his kingdom today. It's interesting because when you think about the church, our mission, you know what our mission is? It's to recruit people so they too be part of the kingdom, because one day when he comes again, he's going to establish his kingdom forever. And you and I are going to be part, subjects of that kingdom. The Bible talks about that just like if we suffer with him, we're also going to reign with him. That's what something you and I look forward to, because, you know, one day Christ is going to come back. How do I know that? Because so far, everything he said, he's done. And he also said, I'm coming back. John 14, I'm going to go and prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come back so that where I am, you can also be. And you know the way, he told the disciples. Thomas says, no, we don't know the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's going to come back. He's not going to come back like a baby, you know, or to hang out with fishermen. No, he's not riding anymore on a donkey. You have this imagery of Jesus in Revelation 19, some of you who take notes. And he's a king and he's ticked with the nation. Revelation 19, the rider of the white horse. And he has a name written down. His name says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword with which to strike down the nations. And his robe is stained blood because apparently he's been trotting down the enemies. Ouch. It's payback time when that king comes. You know, the day of the Lord, the Bible talks about judgment time when Jesus comes. But if you are with Jesus, if you already believe that he is the Messiah, you don't have to worry about the horrible part of the book of Revelation. That's not for you. You know, Jesus is going to come to establish his kingdom one day. I have a lot of friends that we differ. You know, sometimes people call themselves, I am a millennialist or whatever. And, you know, the thing is, I remember I went to school. And if they're watching, they know that we disagree on some of these things. Because there are people, they believe that Jesus is reigning already. You know, that he's reigning. I struggle with that. Because it's almost like they want to allegorize. They want to say that he's reigning in our hearts. And I say, even that, not true. If Jesus reigns in your heart, you will never sin. Even our hearts is not reigning completely, is he? I mean, we're honest. So, because they think, oh, he's reigning spiritually. No, no, no. The Bible talks about that he's going to reign on the house of David. There will be an earthly kingdom established by Jesus one day. Revelation 21, a new earth and new heaven. John talks about, and then Jesus ascended, and Jesus said, now the dwelling of God is with men, with people. And he would take away all the tears. And you know, and Jesus said, look, I make all things new. But he's going to reign with people physically. It's not just like, because did David reign spiritually? There was a physical kingdom in Israel. That's what they were waiting for. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to establish his kingdom. And we will be part of his kingdom. Those who have already accepted him as Savior and Lord. Paul says it this way. In Philippians 2, somewhere in 9 and 11 says, that God gave him the name, that's Jesus, that is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My friends, that hasn't happened yet. That's another one coming soon. Coming soon. One day everyone will have to see the face of Jesus and bow down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He inaugurated the kingdom. And when he comes back, he's going to establish it with justice, with peace. And then finally, we're going to experience true peace. Because there will be no more war, no more crime, no more shooting people. None of that stuff. All those things will be eradicated from the world that Jesus is creating to those who love him. I love what Paul says because Paul says, you know, I can do all things through Christ and I experience suffering because if I suffer for him, I will reign with him. All the writers of the New Testament understood that Jesus is the king. And one day you also will be in that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Our job now is to tell people, to recruit people for that kingdom. You see, all that people must do is to believe in Jesus as the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Next time that people see Jesus, that he comes to earth, it's not to die. It's not to preach. Preaching will be over. It's to reign as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus on a personal level, you still may be confused about who he is, his identity, talk to us. I mean, we all being where you are, perhaps like wrestling with Jesus, and we had to do some study and find out more. But, you know, when you look at Jesus, how he's portrayed, how he's depicted through the pages of the Bible, you come without a doubt that he's the Messiah. He was God's solution to our sinful problem. He came to die on my behalf so that through his death, I can be reconciled to God. And you see, he just did not come to save you. He came also to point you out, to make you sons and daughters of the King. Man, that's amazing. Your dad is a king, and that makes you a prince and princess. You know, it's like, just like the Bible says, just like one day we're going to be glorified, like in glory with him, reigning in the glory. That's what we are looking forward to. And sometimes we don't realize that even when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next line? Your kingdom come. Why do you think that's because he hasn't come yet? Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's will is not done on earth completely. I mean, not even us. I mean, we do the will of God. Otherwise, no, one day, when will God's will be completely done on earth as it is in heaven? When Jesus comes to establish that kingdom. We look forward to see the face of the King. The King will come. I remember growing up in a preacher's home, there was a song that really made me uncomfortable. You know, my dad's been a preacher for 50-some years in the Dominican Republic, and I remember growing up, I was like 11 or 12, they had a song called "The King is Coming, The King is Coming." That made me uncomfortable because I realized, I don't know that I'm ready to see the face of that King. You know, and then people had to tell me that, but then you're not ready. Today's the time to get ready because the King is coming. And if you're afraid of him, that means that then you're on the other side. Those who belong to Jesus should look forward to the time when he will come And then we're going to realize, finally, we are home with him. No more crying, no more tears, no more anxiety, none of that. I mean, with Jesus forever and ever. So who do people say Jesus is? Who do the scripture teach us that Jesus is? Savior of the world, the King. The 2,000 years he entered the city of Jerusalem telling the people, I am the Messiah that you all been waiting for. People did not recognize him. They killed him. But we know that that's not the end of the story. Because the King proved himself to the world that he truly was the Messiah. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, don't wait another moment. Because, you know, tomorrow is not guaranteed for us. You know, death can come to any of us any moment. And you need to get ready. You need to get ready to, give your life to the Lord so that whatever happens to you, you'll be secure because you know you're going with him. Paul says, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, the life I'm going to live to serve the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Would you pray with me this morning?